up? This is your homegirl, Complex Angel, and welcome back to another episode of Self Love is My Rehab, where we are all tired of abuse being our addiction. I'm about to get my partner in crime, DC, on the line so we can start the show, so please tune in and love yourself. Yo, DC, what's going on?
Yo, what's happening?
Not much. About to get the guest on so we can get right into the show. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Detroit Daoud, you there?
I'm here.
How are you?
Yo, what's going on?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
It's
been a hot
day.
Yes, blessed to see another day, but it's been hot, trying to stay cool.
Yeah, thank God for that.
Yes. Okay. Well, all right, DC, what was the vibe of the week?
You said it. It's been hot as shit. I ain't been appreciating it. as we pretty much discussed in the, in the previous podcast, when we were talking about depression, and I can't remember the term that they use for that particular depression, but it's really showing this whole week.
Oh, yeah, seasonal affective disorder. Yeah.
It's really been showing this week. And right now, it's like 97 degrees right now, and I really don't like it. So, yeah, fuck the summer. But other than that, the vibe has just been, just embracing my happiness and, getting a lot of clarity in situations and, accepting
good.
It and moving on,
Yeah, that's always good. Okay. Well, like DC said on last week's episode, we talked about depression part two. We talked about seasonal affective disorder. Basically, it just means that when your mood changes with the seasons, but it's typically known to happen for people in the wintertime. I know I get sad when it's snowing outside and, the skies look real gloomy. It just reminds you of sad things. We also talked about how social media could play a part in your depression, how certain songs, when a person is telling their story, someone else may interpret it the wrong way, and take it and run with it and do something negative. But basically, we realize that depression is something that you can't shake. Detroit Daoud, is there anything that you wanted to chime in and piggyback on about depression that we probably didn't touch on?
No, because I don't really know too much about depression. I mean, I get depressed sometimes, but I don't know what to say about that. I mean, I think that when it comes to depression, when it comes to depression, a person needs to have their own coping mechanism, and make sure it's healthy, maybe listening to music, going for a walk, drinking water, breathing, things of that nature.
Yeah.
Right.
So you just taught somebody something new. That was really good. Okay. Well, all right, DC. Tell them what the Shut Me the Fuck Up topic is tonight.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Shut Me the Fuck Up topic tonight, we are going to discuss to love what they hate about me. Now, we're basically going to be discussing with Detroit's own, Detroit Daoud. We'll be discussing what it's like to be coming out of the closet. So, it's pretty much, straightforward. So, without further ado, we're going to jump right in it because this is a juicy topic. This is something that, like any other topic, people may be going through that may need some insight on what they're going through on, particularly on what we're talking about. So, I'm going to jump right into it. With the first question, Detroit Daoud, what has been the most difficult part about coming out?
The most difficult part about coming out is wondering how the people around you are going to take it. I think coming out is different for everyone. So,
sure.
It all depends on the support system you have. If you have a loving family that if you know that you already have relatives that have come out of the closet and they've accepted them, chances are they will also accept you. But everybody is not blessed to have that support system. So coming out of the closet can be not a positive experience for some people.
Right.
Yeah, but I know.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, you know, I get where you're coming from that perspective, because, I mean, yeah, definitely a support system is definitely well needed in every situation. And, you know, considering that we're talking about this topic, you know, I'm sure that it's much needed, you know, for an individual who has this new identity, you know, that they have just found within themselves. And it's like, okay, this is my story. This is me now. So it's like, you know, you have this, you know, this load of confusion of, you know, okay, like, this is me now. Who the hell do I tell? You know, because I'm sure, you know, hiding behind it is probably, could be, in a sense, the most stressful and the most depressing thing, because, you know, you have to carry yourself a certain way around people that don't necessarily know your truth. You know.
Yeah.
But you know what? Even with that said, everybody who comes out of the closet, all gay men are not feminine. So, you know, like in my case, I've come out to family and they were shocked. They never would have guessed it, because I am a masculine male. You know, we all have those. We have those times where, you know, you have like feminine mannerisms here and there, but majority of the time, I carry myself as a masculine male.
Right. Detroit, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
I was listening. Oh, okay. because I was going to ask you next, because I know you said that, you know, having, if you have a positive support system, it's like a breath of, it's like a breath of fresh air. Like, okay, I can breathe. I don't have to carry this on my shoulders. I have people that support me. Can you kind of paint a picture to the listeners of what it may look like from a general perspective of a person who doesn't have that support system, and when they do come out, it's the opposite of what they were expecting?
Okay, and then I just want to piggyback on what DC said earlier. When a person comes out of the closet, when they are able to live in their truth, that is freeing. It's like a weight has come off your shoulders. I don't have to live a lie anymore. I can truly be who I'm supposed to be, who God created me to be. And then to your next question, a person who does not have the proper support system, they can experience depression. Sometimes it's led people to suicide. It's led people to be promiscuous. It's led people to experiment with substance abuse. But that's why that support system is very important. But also, besides having a support system, you have to love yourself.
Right.
Yeah. That part right there. You know, and I was going to say, because you basically gave like all the examples that I was going to really throw out there. You know, like, yeah, when you don't have a support system, you're basically thinking outside of the box in a negative way. You know, you try to find that scapegoat to, you know, to ease that, you know, that frustration and that pain, you know, because you don't have anybody to go to, you know. So the closest thing that you have is, you know, your own negative Nancy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're feeding yourself all these negative directions to go into, not necessarily knowing that most things are, you know, due to be harmful to you, but, you know, without a support group, or, you know, without someone just accepting you for who you are, you know, you're going to find something that doesn't really have you know, something that you can go to and they won't give, it's not, you know, capable of giving you any negative feedback. It's just only to make you feel good. You know what I'm saying? Which would be, you know, those substances or, you know, you just being a cold-hearted person at the end of the day and just, you know, hell, maybe in a sense doing harm to other people, you know what I'm saying? Just from a verbal perspective, you know, just criticizing people, you know, kind of like bullying type of shit, you know what I'm saying? Degrading people just to make yourself feel better about the lie that you haven't came out with yet. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and but, hurt people hurt people.
Yeah, exactly, that right there. But so my next question for you is, since coming out, how has it felt to be yourself at this point?
So where I am in terms of myself, I'm comfortable. I'm able to live in my truth. I don't have to. Well, first off, you don't have to tell everybody that you are gay or that you're homosexual.
Right.
But I mean, you know, if somebody asks like, are you dating anybody? Then I will say yes. I'm dating a male and who it is. Da 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 da. But I'm comfortable with that. Before, I couldn't even really say the word. I couldn't identify myself as gay, you know, and it all ties back to my religious upbringing.
Okay.
You know, that's crazy that you say that, Detroit Daoud, because back in high school, I want to say that I was, like, bicurious. I found females attractive. You know, especially ones who dress like studs, but could switch it up and, you know, dress like a femme as well. And I remember when I was in college, I had a crush on this one girl. And I was, like, really scared because I didn't want to get the negative feedback from my mom or my grandmother, like, well, you're depriving us a chance to be a grandmother and a great-grandmother. But, like, that ties into my next question. But also religion played a part in that too. Like, okay, what, you know what I'm saying? Like, what would society think? Because I always cared about what somebody would think. But my next question is, do you feel it's more acceptable for a woman to admit that she's attracted to the same sex versus a man?
I think that I know society is more acceptable of women coming out than they are men, and it's really, honestly, it's a double standard. But I think in terms of like the Black community, they're not as accepting of same sex relationships because of, like we said before, religion and ties to the church.
Yeah. That part.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, like you said, like society. I mean, because from what I typically see, is that, you know, for, you know, girls to give, you know, compliments to, you know, to other girls or, you know, do girl shit, like, you know, be like playful and stuff like that. Like, you know, you'll see like, you know, a girl kiss another girl or, you know, whether it's on the cheek or, you know, be like affectionate in that sort of way. And they don't necessarily, you know, classify that immediately as them, you know, being in a relationship or, you know, lesbian or whatever term you want to make it. But when it comes to like, you know, male on male situations, you know, they get more ridiculed about it. And 9 times out of 10, these are, you know, guys that, you know, have feelings for each other. But, you know, even for like, you know, like straight males to kind of like play around, like, you know, not even in that way, but just like in some sort of sense of a way, like, you know, it's immediately like, you know, in an insulting, but like, oh, they gay and, you know, yada, 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 you know, so it's kind of hard for just in general, it's kind of hard for a male to come out and just be who they are, you know, without being judged in such a horrific way. which I don't think is fair because, like, you know, I'm not against any of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had a friend in high school who came out to pretty much, you know, the group of guys or whatever. We had to sit down and he talked to us about it, and he was, you know, terrified of, you know, what the outcome was going to be. But, you know, he was courageous about it and still got it off his chest and explained it to us. And, you know, I told him in particular, like, you know, like, hey, bruh, like, that's you. It's okay. Honestly, like, we picked up on it. Like, we knew, you know what I'm saying? Because a guy that's in transition, it's pretty obvious. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Let's just be honest. It's pretty obvious when, you know, when you see those things. Now, I had a friend back in middle school also. He wasn't gay, but the simple fact that he grew up around women, he had women tendencies. You know what I'm saying? So he mm-hmm. kind of talked and had like that lingo, like a, you know, like a woman, but he wasn't, you know, that way. You know, so I mean, that can honestly tie into, you know, misconceptions as well. You know, just the simple fact of your upbringing. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you grew around a lot of women, you know, 9 times out of 10, you might have those tendencies, and you might, you know, just follow that whole womanhood thing completely by just like, okay, mm-hmm. like, this is what I know, so this is what I'm going to continue to, you know, capitalize on for the simple fact that this is all I know, you know.
Yeah.
But my next question for you is that do you have any regrets on your journey? Like, was there any regrets on certain people you may have told and you just feel like, you know what, I should have just kept your ass in the dark, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, like, did you have any regrets at all?
Can I piggyback on the last statement you just made about your friend
sure.
that came out? Okay. I just wanted to say, I think as a heterosexual male, I think it's awesome that you embrace and have a gay male friend, but I also know that as a heterosexual male, you want gay men to respect you and, you know, not come on to you, but be respectful. And
right.
I mean, sometimes I know that's the issue between heterosexual males and homosexual males, but it's just at the end of the day, it's about respecting each other's boundaries.
Right. And I feel like that should be, you know, that should be in general. Like, it shouldn't have to be any segregation when it comes to that. You know, as long as that person respects, you know, your standpoint as to your sexuality, like, I'm all for having gay friends. Like, you know, it's cool. Like, you know, just respect that I like women, you know, and you do what you do over there. But that doesn't make you less of a man than what I am.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I feel like that's 100% fair, because I always look at a situation like, okay, let me put myself in their shoes. Like, what if I was, you know, like, you know, coming out into a world where it's not as normal to be who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's a bit of a minority, if you ask me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not normal. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm coming out, you know what I'm saying, and you're supposed to be part of my support group, I would assume that you will still be my support once I come out to you. But at the same time, you know, I give you the respect for the simple fact that you accepted me. I will give you the respect and the boundary of knowing that, you know, this is not who you are, but this is who I am. You know what I'm saying? And we can coexist.
I want to piggyback on that really quick before you go, Detroit Dawood, about when you said, like, it's not normal. It's crazy that we say that, because it's like the media has made it, you know what I'm saying, to be like it's not normal. You know what I'm saying? Like, this was something that was very taboo back in the day. Like, I had an auntie that was gay. We never seen her with a male. When she had company, we weren't allowed inside of her house. Like, they kept it very quiet, and it was something that you just never talked about. And I remember one time in college, we had a LGBTQ community come out, and they had like a panel, and it was in my sociology class, and they had like each sexuality up on the wall. They had heterosexual, they had gay, bisexual, lesbian, transgender, and they wanted us to go around and whatever words we that came to mind when we, you know what I'm saying, thought about that word, we would write it down. Mm-hmm. Everyone in there wrote down sexual stuff for, like, you know, gays, the bisexuals, the lesbians, but heterosexual mm-hmm. was just so innocent. It's like, you know, like for lesbian, they were saying femme on femme, you know, stud on femme. And the lady was like, nobody ever thinks about butch on butch. Nobody ever thinks about two masculine females being on each other. They make lesbian things look very sexual in the media. They don't show that side. And then they show gay guys as very flamboyant and bitch, all of this. Like, they make them right. too flamboyant. And it's like Detroit Dawu said, it's like not all of us are that flamboyant. There are masculine ones mm-hmm. out there. So I just wanted to say, like, it's crazy that you said that, because it's like, I think that it's out of the norm because we don't talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh.
I'm learning that you can't tell people, you know what I'm saying, how they feel. You know, like, you don't know what you're attracted to. I knew I was attracted to guys at 12 years old. I'm just being honest. I thought them thoughts. But, yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
I'm going to piggyback on that. So mm-hmm. I think society, and I think I just invented a new word. I think society is what... is what you would call same-sex sensitive. So if you have mm-hmm. two men hugging, people automatically mm-hmm. assume that they're homosexual.
Right,
you
right,
know?
Right.
So, I mean, that's how American society is. You know, why can't a man give another man a compliment without it being taken as gay?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's been socially designed for that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, granted, like, I don't hug many of my male friends as much, but, you know, when it comes to, like, my uncles and shit like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I give them hugs, you know, and, you know, my best friend, you know what I'm saying? Like, we dab it up, we hug and everything like that, you know what I'm saying? But,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, I'm comfortable with my sexuality. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, before then, you know, it was a sense of embarrassment, or, you know what I'm saying, trying to keep that shit on the hush just so nobody wouldn't entitle you as that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you know, at the end of the day, like, we're grown now. Like, this shit is starting to get really, it's starting to normalize itself. You know what I'm saying? Where people can just be who they are. Now, granted,
mm-hmm.
it's still a battle, you know, with, you know, people who just can't accept the fact that people are being who they are. But
mm-hmm.
you know, it's starting to become a greater situation, you know, because I mean, I hate to bring it to a darker standpoint, but you know, I remember at one point where, you know, when people were identified as gay or lesbian, you know, whether it was, you know, the male or female point of view or whatever, they, you know, it was like physical situations happening to these people, like, you know, they were physically getting hurt at one point, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I was looking at it like is it really worth it? Like the first
mm-hmm.
question that popped up in my head was like, what the fuck did they do to you?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? To pretty much get their life taken away, or to get physically assaulted just because they live in their life. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
They're
this
living
is
their
they
truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know
but
what I'm saying?
Know,
like, a person shouldn't have... Oh yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, but the reason why you have people lashing out at our gay brothers and sisters who are living their truth is because they're not comfortable living theirs. They are fighting against themselves internally.
Yeah.
And this is the only outlet that they have to bash other people that are living their truth.
Mm.
And you know what's crazy? Like, I was watching this show called 13 Reasons Why, and there was two particular characters. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the shit. It's depressing, but it's the shit. But it was a character. His name was Monty, and
mm-hmm.
he was secretly gay. He was on the football team. And mm-hmm. he went to a party. He was into this one dude. And the guy picked up on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a vibe that you get where it's like, yeah, he into it too, but he's not out yet. So it's like, mm-hmm. okay, they, you know, one thing led to another, you know what I'm saying? They handled their business and shit like that. And the dude got embarrassed because I guess it kind of clicked into him, like, you know, this ain't the right, or where he was basically fighting his own truth, where it was mm-hmm. like mm. he was feeding the inner intentions of what he wanted, the satisfaction, but it was like, right. I have a football reputation to hold here. Like, what if they find out? You know what I'm saying? Like, how are right. they going to treat me? So he beat the shit out of this dude, you know what I'm saying, mm. in front of everybody, just to, you know, just to kind of like, you know, send a message to him and I guess to everybody else too as well, just to be like, you know, this guy hit on me and everything like that, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But to him, it was like, this is a message, like, you get this out, like, I'm going to do worse than this. And I feel like a lot of, mm. I feel like that's, you know, reality too as well. Like, these guys, like, they hide behind their truth because they're too scared to, you know,
yeah.
come out and, you know, suffer unnecessary consequences.
Mm-hmm.
You know right. what I'm saying?
That part, yeah.
Yeah, like, oh. yeah, the coming out process is crazy. I mean, I commend everybody, whether it's male or female, you know, to actually come out and just live their truth, man. Because, I mean, based on the media and everything, it's a scarier situation. But, you know, for you guys to still come out and just live your truth and, you know, have a support system, like, I feel like that's just awesome personally.
Yeah, and so when you do come out of the closet, and let's say you develop a relationship with someone of the same sex, the thing mm-hmm. is, you both have to be brave. You don't necessarily have right. to go around holding each other's hand or showing affection. But it's okay yeah. for you to go out and walk together into a restaurant and, you know, mm-hmm. Get reservations yeah. and sit together and just really enjoy each other's time. I mean, people mm-hmm. will pick up that that's what's going on, but you right. you have to embrace that moment. Especially, you know, if you're having good conversation and you think that this relationship is going somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. That's right. Well, I don't know if you answered the other questions you tried to ask. I know we got off topic that DC
oh, yeah,
asked
yeah.
about. yeah, like,
yeah,
if
I was
you,
asking,
like,
did you have
any
regrets on your journey?
Yeah.
So personally, I had came out to my family in 2010. I remember mm-hmm. it. It was 2 days after Christmas. And actually, my family was so loving and appreciative. Like, you know, hey, that's no problem. You've got cousins that are. They were shocked, mm-hmm. still were mm-hmm. so loving and accepting. Now, I started telling people up at college because I was like, you know what? I just want to live in my truth.
Right.
Yeah.
The people who didn't accept it was the Africans. It wasn't so much African Americans. It was
mm-hmm.
Africans from Africa that attended
right.
the
mm-hmm.
college.
Yeah.
Because a lot of stuff that they saw in our culture was a culture shock to them. So for me
yeah.
to, well, actually, so one guy was like, why do you have a picture of two guys? It was on Facebook. And he was like, why is there a picture of two guys kind of cuddled up? And I just told him, I said, well, because I am a gay male. And, mm-hmm. you know, and then he started kind of resenting me and he was threatening, talking about, if I see you, this will happen and everything like that. But,
wow.
you know, mm-hmm. Part of me was scared, but I still was very courageous. I was the
yeah,
face
yeah.
of the library. You know, when you came to that campus library, because that was my work study job. And so I still lived in my truth. You know, when I left, when I left campus, I was going to Necto in Ann Arbor on Friday night. They had gay night.
Oh, shit, I know about that.
Yeah, I know about that place, but that's crazy.
And so I met people who were like me. I actually met a female. We met in our economics class, and we became like the best of friends, you know. And she actually introduced me to Necto, and we made it our tradition to go like every Friday night.
Aww.
That's what's up.
That's what's up.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's where I used to go. That was actually like my club to go to, like me and my friends. And it's funny because we happened to go there on we was hanging out on a Friday, and then we was like, yo, let's hit up Ann Arbor and shit. Because we would go there so frequently, but it was just like we never wound it up on a Friday. And it was a Friday. I was like, let's go to Necto. My friend was like, no, you don't want to go there today. I was like, what you mean? He's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, no disrespect or anything, but he was just like, you know, like, that's, you know, that's gay night. I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. I guess we don't belong there then. We'll try tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, that was when I found out that it was just, that was a particular night just for, you know, for gay people.
Right.
But, yeah, Ann Arbor's the shit, though. I love Ann Arbor. Ann Arbor's cool as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It made me kind of regret going to Eastern. No shade, I'm just saying. But
that's a whole different discussion.
And you already know where I went. I was at the most conservative school.
Oh, yeah.
Concordia University.
Oh, shit.
Well, my last question for you, Detroit Dawood, is what advice can you give to someone coming out of the closet about their sexuality on how to still love themselves despite the backlash they may get?
My advice would be that you've got to love you. Once you love and accept and stop fighting who God made you to be and you're comfortable with yourself, I feel like that's when you have the opportunity to truly love someone else. The other thing is you need to find you a support system. And a support system does not always have to be blood related. Because like I said, if you have someone who has, if they're coming out of the closet and they have a bad experience and their family has been horrible towards them, maybe that's definitely not the support system for them. So they can get involved in like support groups and meet people. And you want a support system that will be honest with you and that will give you nothing but unconditional love. I'll tell you this. I have a group of gay male friends, and I didn't get them until 2016. But you know what? They helped me on my journey. I had already come out of the closet, but they helped me to be more comfortable in my skin as a gay male and embracing who I was.
Yes.
That's what's up.
I love it. I love it.
Okay. And then another thing, I want people to know and understand that even if you are gay, too often, gay people are told that God hates them, but that is far from the truth. God actually loves you, because too often religion teaches us that God hates us and that we're going to hell and all this stuff. But if that was true, look at the homosexual celebrities that identify as Christian and look at how God is blessing them. You got Sean T, Rashawn Patterson, Frank Ocean, Karamo Brown. I even think Ellen DeGeneres. I don't know if she's a Christian or not, but look at how God is blessing these people.
Yeah, thank you for the insight. Appreciate you on that. Okay, well, it is time for us to segue into our next segment. Detroit Daoud, this is more for you. It is the Let Your Light Shine moment. So I'm going to ask you two questions and just ask that you be real and raw like you have been, you know, so far. So the first question is, what part of self-love has been challenging for you so far?
The part of self-love that has been challenging for me is to realize mm-hmm. that I am worthy of love. That doesn't come overnight. I think that that's where you have to go on a journey with yourself, and you have to really just love yourself. And as we talked about earlier, really you can be yourself is your worst enemy, and you have to put away the negative self-talk. And sometimes you got to encourage yourself, as the gospel song says. You know?
Right. Be your own motivation. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what are some self-love tips you do? Because on this podcast, we try to teach people what self-love is. Because I know I was always told growing up, love yourself, but I didn't have no one showing me the right example.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, the habits that I do to show that I love myself is I try to exercise at least 3 times a week, even though I have a busy schedule. That's why I try to make it at least 3 times a week. Taking time to just now be in my word, listening to music, because music is an outlet and music has a message.
Yes. Yes.
Definitely just taking time for you. Sometimes you need to date yourself. Sometimes you need to just order takeout and just pick a movie on Netflix or Hulu or a TV show and get you a bottle of wine and just chill. Turn your phone off. Date yourself.
Yes.
You know?
I like it. Thank you.
And another thing is it's okay to self-love should be masturbating. You have to love yourself and you have to please yourself before anybody else can please you. So you got to learn what it is that you like so that you can teach somebody else how to please you.
I approve that message. Yes.
Yo, that is the first response. That's crazy. Hey, you said, look, you got to slap it one time. One time for the good time.
Yes.
Just I felt that shit, dog.
You too.
Hell no.
You have to.
That's funny.
I'm telling you.
No, that's real, though.
You have. Yeah, you got to learn yourself. I'm telling you, it's nuts. You know, we were always taught as kids, don't explore that. But as you get older, you have to, so that you won't look for, you won't look for another person to get you that pleasure. You know what I'm saying? I definitely approve that. Okay. Well, we're going to segue into. Oh, my God. DC. Yeah. Anyway, listen, if you have to be that junkie to explore yourself, then do so. We're going to segue into shout outs and appreciations. Detroit Daoud will give you a chance to shout out anybody you want, or if there's anybody that you want to say you appreciate, you have the floor.
You know what? I appreciate my friends. I appreciate my partner. And I appreciate my, I also appreciate my family, and I appreciate God allowing me to just grow more in Him after I did accept who I was.
Okay. Thank you. All right, DC. All right, let me give my little shout-outs and appreciations. You know I ain't changed. Shout-out to Self Love Is My Rehab, because without Self Love Is My Rehab, it would not have allowed me to be a better person that I am willing to be on a regular basis every single day. Shout-out to you, Complex Angel, for allowing all that shit to happen, because without you, there would be no DC. And shout-out to God, because without him, there would be no Self Love Is My Rehab. There would be no Complex Angel. There would be no DC. Shout out to Dynamic Culture Apparel. That's my baby. Don't play with it. It is doing well. It has been basically my gift to my new self. You know what I'm saying? And ever since I dropped it, it's been doing good. I can't complain. I've been humble about it, you know, through the whole experience. Be on the lookout for some new apparel coming soon. I don't promote it as much. Like I said, I'm just being as humble as I can be. I'm not trying to be out here, you know, super global. I'm letting it grow as natural as it can be. You know what I'm saying? You can't overwater a plant and never grow. But if you want to stay updated on that, follow me on Instagram at dynamic_culture_apparel. And you can also follow it on Facebook as Dynamic Culture Apparel. And if you want to follow me, you can follow me on Instagram at super ugly. That is SUPA _ ugly. Represent the ugly niggas. Hallelujah. Oh my God.
Shout out to Positive Vibes and Positive Energy. And shout out to the people with negative vibes and negative energy as well. At the end of the day, we love you still. We just waiting for you to catch up,
Okay. Detroit Dawood, I want to give you a shout out for coming on and shedding light on this topic. Thank you for willing to be open and honest to help someone out there who feels isolated and who feels like they don't have a voice. Thank you for coming on and, you know, just being that voice for them. Shout out to Self Love Is My Rehab. No problem. Shout out to Self Love Is My Rehab. It has set a lot of platforms for me. Shout out to Queens of Vibes and Visions, my co-host, Queen K. I love you. Thank you for just always being ready to go. Shout out to you, DC, for just, you know, willing to do this with me and make this podcast possible, you know, because honestly, it was a lot of content, and I don't think that I could have did an hour of content without you. So, you know, and I know we're changing people's lives, but this podcast is teaching me as well. Shout out to God, because without him, I don't have a close relationship with myself. You know, just talking to him and, you know, just putting myself, you know, like just basically like getting in tune with myself and asking him for clarity on things is helping me to realize a lot. And my fears going into my 30s is not as bad, and it's easier to not fear change. So, yes, shout out to him. And shout out to No Apologies. It's still doing numbers. I am still getting epiphanies and learning a lot from myself. Out of Darkness is coming soon, and it is taking me on a journey, but I'm very appreciative of this journey. And, so with that being said, we're going to segue into Stimulate Your Mind, and then we're almost done, Detroit Dawood. Are you ready to get your mind stimulated before we close out tonight?
Let's do it.
All right, DC, drop it.
Let's stimulate that mind, Kareem.
Okay, so the stimulate your mind question this week is, why do we only identify with others' pain when it hits close to home? So, Detroit, that's what I'll let you answer first.
Why do we identify with others' pain?
Only when it hits close to home. Only when it hits close to home for us. Like say if someone's mom passed, we don't,
Because we don't, you know, sometimes we're looking through a lens, not always judging a person, but the problem is we don't try to put ourselves in that person's shoes. We're not trying to feel what they're feeling.
Okay.
Complex.
play that beat back one more time, because you always come up with the guys with these little stimulate your mind questions.
I said, why do we identify with others' pain only when it hits close to home?
I don't know. That's a good ass question. If I do answer this right, okay, elaborate this shit. Enlighten me, bro. Enlighten me a little bit more on this question.
It's like basically like say if 9/11, we watched that on TV, right? And we were scared. Mm-hmm. But I think people living in the Midwest, we got over it after a month, but it still was shooking for people who lived in Philadelphia and who lived in New Jersey and New York, that it was real close, you know, like, because, like, my boyfriend, we talked about that, and I'm like, wow, like, you actually were real close to that, you know, living in the East Coast. For me, it was like, okay, we talked about it, but then after a month, it was over. It's like we don't identify, like, or say if you lost a parent, and your friend doesn't know what that's like. They don't understand why you're sad on the holidays. They don't get it until it happens to them.
Well, I have an example of that. With the current unrest in this country, you have some white people who don't understand what black people are going through when they are being persecuted by law enforcement in this country. They can't relate to that until it happens to a close friend of theirs. Now with interracial marriages, you know, they have a black relative in their family that this happens to. Because before it's like, what are you guys fighting for? You know, they can't understand that black lives matter. They can't understand why we say that. But now some of them are starting to see it. They're waking up. It's sad that it took what happened to George Floyd for a lot of them to wake up.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, to piggyback off what you said, like, you know, it's definitely nice to see, you know, a race that's been taught to be racist, and, you know, instead of just having that necessarily in their blood to really, like, you know, come to the recognition of that, and actually stand for what's right. You know what I'm saying? Like, because the ones that are stuck in their ways are just looking at us as, you know, like, weird type of shit, when that's not the case. Like, people are actually dying out here because of the color of their skin. But, but to basically answer your question, now that I'm getting it now, I don't know. It's still kind of hard. I mean, the answer is kind of pretty much in the question. You know what I'm saying? Like, people just don't get it until it hits close to home. That's just like with the COVID shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, a lot of people walk around here complaining about, you know, not having, you know, having to wear a mask and everything like that, and not really grasping the situation as what this fucking, you know, this virus is. You know what I'm saying? Until it hits close to home to people. Now, honestly, like, I give you an example of with me as well, like, with the coronavirus. Like, with me, it didn't have to hit close to home for me to understand that this shit is real. I felt like it was necessary for me to understand it before it did hit close to home.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So from my perspective, it don't have to hit close to home for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, if someone loses a mom, I can just only imagine how it feels. But at the same time, we'll definitely understand. You know what I'm saying? Because God forbid, you know what I'm saying, I lose my mom and, you know, have to endure that pain. You know what I'm saying? Let alone someone who has already lost their mother and has to endure that pain. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Most situations will commonly happen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you don't have to, you know, it don't have to hit close to home for you to understand anything. You know what I'm saying? That's just like with, you know, like with, you know, losing someone. Eventually you'll lose someone that is close to your heart. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So eventually you will feel that pain. You know what I'm saying? Or someone that you're close to. You know what I'm saying? That someone considers your heart. You know what I'm saying? Well, they heart, I should say. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I feel like you don't necessarily, it don't necessarily have to hit close to home for you to understand somebody's pain.
Right. True. I was definitely going to say, like, it stems back to what you both said, but especially you, Detroit Dawood, about how people don't want to feel that pain, so they don't identify with it. And I also think it's because it's like we don't know how to deal with pain. Because like I said before, when you go to funerals, it's always like, oh, they wouldn't want you crying. It's a celebration. But the reason why I brought this question up is because I've just seen, like, people making jokes about Nick Cannon wanting to cause depression, like you know, like with him attempting suicide after all of this backlash that he got for apologizing to, you know, his Jewish white friends for what he said on his podcast. People are making jokes about the Megan Thee Stallion getting shot. And I remember with, like, the Surviving R. Kelly thing. Yeah, it's been crazy. And people are making jokes about, like, this one girl that came out on the Surviving R. Kelly thing talking about some, like, oh, she's laughing. If I was in an abusive relationship, I wouldn't be laughing. And it's like, it hits close to home for me because I've been there. I've been that person that was depressed, that has suicidal thoughts. And I told them, like, you know, instead of us being so quick to judge, we need to learn how to research and understand what a person is going through before. It's so easy to put your opinion out there, but we can always, you know what I'm saying, we never want to research. Like DC said, you know, it didn't have to hit close to home for him to understand how serious COVID-19 was. He just had to make sure that he educated himself on how serious it was so he can know what precautions to take. So, I don't know, it's like just seeing all of these comments about Megan Thee Stallion, like, oh, well, she shouldn't have put hands to him. She wouldn't have got shot. Nick Cannon, oh, you want to be a black activist? Well, you got to take what comes with it. People are still human at the end of the day. And I remember I commented on somebody's status that said something about Nick Cannon. And, you know, I said, I get that. You're saying that as a black activist, you have to have tough skin. Well, what's going to come? That is true. But even if you stay on the sidewalk, even if you stay on the sidewalk, you still get those side comments, oh, you're not out here with us. It's like we can't win for lose, and I just want to see my people do better with sticking together and talking about topics like this. So thank
you,
too,
what?
For answering. Yeah.
And I was just going to say, just to kind of piggyback on what you just said, it goes back with the conversation you and I had about how as black people, we don't support each other. So, you know, we're so negative when people are putting their efforts out here. When black people, when we see black people putting an effort into something, we don't support it. And that's why it ends up dying.
That's right. You're over here planting seeds, but we ain't got no water to pour into it. So, Okay. Thank you so much, guys. Okay, we're coming to the ending chapter. So, DC, please close us out with the dynamic quote.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the closed caption of the podcast. It was a very wonderful and informative episode tonight. Detroit Dawood, thanks for coming through and, you know, dropping some insight on what it's like to come out the closet. I do commend you and everyone else that is going through this situation. And, you know, I just want to say, you know, I commend you guys for, you know, being as brave as you can be and, you know, willing to be, you know, to just be yourself, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, living your truth and, you know, being as happy as you can be with your family and your friends, you know, your support group and your significant others, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, just trying to live life through this fucked up and diverse world, you know what I'm saying? So I commend y'all for living y'all truth and being courageous about it. I really do. But
that part, and thank you.
Oh yeah, for sure. So the dynamic quote for this evening is brought to you by our own Complex Angel. She had posted this on our Self Love Is My Rehab Facebook page. And the quote is, the only thing that will make you happy is being happy with who you are and not who the... So with that being said, you know, like the quote says, just be happy with yourself, you know, build that self-love with inside you. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you and God are the narratives of your story. No one else is. They are just to either exist, coexist, or don't exist at all. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, this is your story. This is your truth. This is your life. Live it the best way you can. You know, and if everybody applies this to their life, like Detroit Dawu said, we can be able to, in the black community, be able to support each other and not tear each other down just because another person is doing better than the next. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, we got to stop that shit. You know what I'm saying? As a black community, we need to be more stronger, more powerful, because it's already in us. We just need to apply it within ourselves. And that's it for me. With that being said, peace and love, and we out this time.
Peace and love.